news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guests, and today we have with us Mr. Trevor Coleman, who's a member of the UK Independence Party. He is running for Parliament. He's made several videos on what's happening as far as the European Union. And out across America, you must understand that what is happening in Europe today with the European Union, what's happening to British sovereignty, foreshadows what's going to happen here in the United States. It's just that Britain is a little further along the road towards the loss of sovereignty, and with that, the loss of individual freedom, than we are here in the United States. So with that as the background, Mr. Coleman, are you there?
Yes, I am, Dr. Stan.
Thank you so very much for being with us today. We had a little trouble, but I'm glad we finally got together. And tell us now your take on what's going on over there. I know you're a member of the UK Independence Party, trying, of course, to do everything you can to awaken the British people to the very real threat of what the loss of national sovereignty will mean. What is actually happening? Are the British people beginning to understand that they're turning their back on, you know, almost 800 years of concepts of freedom that were laid out in the Magna Carta?
There is a mood out there amongst the people now that they're beginning to realize what has been happening for the last 32 years. But of course, the problem is that there has been a deliberate deception taking place over those 32 years by our own politicians, who have deliberately hidden from the populace here exactly what's going on. And in fact have been feeding them lies upon lies, and not just one particular political party, but all three of the main political parties in this country have been complicit in this particular deceit. And it's only during the last two or three years that the general public have begun to realize that this has been happening. But there is a mood of awakening there now, and I think that given a fair wind, that we could surprise people in the forthcoming election, because I think people will vote our way.
Well, really, something most Americans don't know about is this election that was held somewhere in the northern part of England. The European Parliament wants to set everything up in regions rather than in countries. Would you like to discuss what happened with that election, this regionalization election, and of course what the implications of that are?
Yes, indeed. The regionalization program is a very simple one and a very sinister one. Most of the member states in the European Union do in fact have a history of regional governments. We don't have that in Great Britain. As you probably know, we're made up of counties, the old county structures, and in order for us to be the same as the rest of the European Union, our country has to be broken up into 12 regions. Now, the way our politicians have done this, they've said that they're devolving, if you like, Parliament from Westminster down to the regions. And they've established already four of the regions, Scotland, Wales, Ulster, and London, have been regionalized. Now, the election you're talking about was the first election or referendum in England asking the people in the Northeast, would they like to have a regional assembly? And I must say this, the Geordies, those are the people that live in the Northeast, saw through this pretense and voted 4-1 against it. And in other words, this was a massive rejection of regional government. Now, whether this will stop our politicians, I don't know, but that has galvanized people in the rest of the country and awakened them to the fact that this, again, was another deceit taking place trying to break up our country.
And I think it's so interesting that 80% of the people in this region voted, they didn't want a regional government, they didn't want to change the structure of Great Britain. It seems that the people of England are far more aware of what's going on than the average American. So, well, we're going to be talking about this in just a moment with Mr. Trevor Coleman when we get back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Our guest today is Mr. Trevor Coleman from England, and of course he is a member of the UK Independence Party. He'll be running for Parliament here with the next election, and there is a conscious effort, of course, to educate the American people about the implications of this idea of a European Union, which is the counterpart of NAFTA, the CAFTA, this a free trade zone of the Americas that they're talking about establishing here. And of course, with the European Parliament, England is giving up its national sovereignty. It was put together originally as part of a lie. They told the English people, oh, this just has to do with trade. Just like we were told, oh, NAFTA, World Trade Organization, this has to do with trade, nothing more. And then, of course, in England, in Europe, they began talking about, well, we need a common currency. We need a common government. After all, we're a nation of laws. Well, of course, the European Union wasn't supposed to be a nation. But, of course, that's really what it was all about, wasn't it, Mr. Coleman? They really had a different agenda than they told the people.
Yes, they did. And what gave us the indication that he lied to us was a document that was prepared, if you like, to brief up our ministers in the early 1970s. It was entitled Sovereignty in the European Communities, and it set out exactly that, whether or not we would be affected if we joined the common market, as it was then called. And this document sets out in stark detail the fact that if we did join the common market, as it was called way back then, that we would, in fact, lose our sovereignty. Now, this document, the Foreign and Commonwealth Office document of 1971, was suppressed for 30 years, and no one outside of Parliament saw it. Now, the interesting point is that at the time this document was circulating amongst our politicians, they were telling us that we wouldn't lose any sovereignty, that it was, in fact, just a trading agreement that we were signing up to. We now know, of course, but our own politicians were telling us lies way back then and have been ever since.
And I think this is so important because English politicians are no better than American politicians. When you get into politics, it's very difficult not to sell your soul. They lied to the populace. Why? Because they knew the English people didn't want to give up their sovereignty any more than the American people want to give up our sovereignty. But, of course, there are people and the leadership of both American parties, the Democrats and the Republicans, who are dedicated to globalization. Just as there are people in Great Britain today who are dedicated to globalization and the destruction of that ancient heritage from which America came here a little over 200 years ago. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, our stations are all back with us, Mr. Coleman, and it's the now, of course, we've joined the network again, and our guest today is Mr. Trevor Coleman from Great Britain. We're talking about what is happening in Great Britain, this move towards the European Union, and with that, of course, well, what will it will mean to the average Englishman if you go into the European Union? What will it do as far as his security? What will it do as far as his freedom? What will it do as far as his ability, his rights as an English citizen to a trial by jury? And what will it will do to his pensions and his economic future?
Well, the thing about it, Dr. Stan, is that we are already members of the European Union anyway. But what will put the cap on it, of course, is if we ratify this constitution that has been put forward now by the European Convention. Now, this really is the key that locks the door. And unless we oppose this, we shall lose all those things that you just mentioned. For example, there will be a brand new system of criminal justice brought into our country called Corpus Juris that does away with the right to trial by jury, that does away with habeas corpus, and eventually will do away with other ancient safeguards. Now, that's just one of the things. But the real big thing about the Constitution, if it is ratified, is that it is the final transference of power from our Parliament in Westminster right over to Brussels. It's the last segment of power. The five treaties that have already been signed were treaty by treaty, bit by bit, handing over sovereignty. This is the last bit, and if this goes in, then our country ceases to exist. England has long ago vanished from the maps of the European Union, and Britain will follow suit if we ratify this document.
And of course, this is really the end of the tradition from which America came. I mean, we were really, our laws here in America were really offshoots of the British common law, at least they were for almost 100 years. And as our, basically our laws, our Bill of Rights, all of this really had its roots in the freedoms that came from Great Britain. Well, does the average English citizen really begin to catch a glimpse of what this would mean, the end of trial by jury, the end of habeas corpus, all of these things which had been so long fought for and which are part of the tradition of England and America, but are certainly not the traditions in Europe?
Well, sufficient to say this, that when I started out on this task, and I've only been fighting this battle now for about 5.5 years, I've probably given talks around Great Britain, perhaps 400 or 500 talks in the last 4 or 5 years. And when I started out 4 or 5 years ago, people would ridicule me, and they would just frankly turn their back on me and just tell me that what I was saying was completely untrue. That isn't like it anymore. People are beginning to wake up very, very quickly, and unless they get some kind of means of expression in this country, then I think that things could become quite ugly over here.
Well, I hope that and pray that it never comes to that. I just hope that the people will wake up and they will vote the scoundrels out of office. But you really have a parliamentary system there, really, where you have these parties that really don't represent the people. Aren't the various political parties controlled from the top down by the political leaders rather than representing the people?
Yes, they are. And talking to the ordinary members, if you like, of the other three major parties in this country, I find that most of those people, ordinary people like ourselves, feel in exactly the same way as I do about the European Union. Many of them share our exact views that are being espoused by the UK Independence Party, but it is the executives of these three main parties that insist that we must belong to the European Union. I have to tell you this, there isn't a ha'porth of difference between the three major parties. And we've got a saying in this country now that, in fact, there are only two political parties in Great Britain. One is the UK Independence Party, and the second party is the rest of them.
I agree with you totally. Well, you know, of course, the problem is that we face basically the same here in America. We have one major political party made of the Republicans and the Democrats, and then we have a few independent parties. Unfortunately, none of them have really come forward to take the position of leadership that your UK Independent Party has, because, of course, but hopefully perhaps they can coalesce under some sort of a common banner, and we can, of course, begin opposing this globalization, which is, of course, beginning to grip America as well. And the average American doesn't understand what happens when you lose your right to trial by jury, when you lose your right to habeas corpus. People said it could never happen here. And I would ask, why not? The president, within the last month or so, has actually agreed that we will go into the International Criminal Court, and our soldiers and our military and officials can be tried in the International Criminal Court. We've got very little fanfare here. But in that respect, we may even be going a little further, more rapidly than the Great Britain is. But the average American, of course, is not allowed to realize the implications of the loss of our judicial system that, of course, originally did come from Great Britain. Well, what about economically? How will this affect Great Britain economically as you go into the European Union?
Well, if we do take on the Constitution, what it means is that we have to sign up to all the articles that are contained within the Constitution, and a couple of those articles pass over competence. In this new document, the Union doesn't talk about power, it talks about competence. The Constitution passes over competence to the European Union to deal with all matters economic. Now, what this means for us in Great Britain is that if we sign up to this, we are actually signing up to the euro. And we are, in fact, giving away our ability to deal with our own economy by giving up the pound sterling. Now, you may know that we've been promised a referendum on whether we should adopt the euro or not, but if we sign up to and ratify the Constitution, that won't be necessary, because we are, in fact, giving tacit approval to the single currency. And so this is, again, a huge transference of power. The economic power, of course, is everything. And at the moment, we are very lucky. We've got the pound sterling, and we can control our own economy, and we are doing very well outside of it. But But there is a huge pressure building up within the EU to force Britain in, and if we ratify this document, we're in. It's as simple as that.
Well, my understanding is that the European Union is having some trouble having taken all of these countries of Eastern Europe in with very, very low living standards. And there's going to have to be a tremendous transfer of wealth within the European Union to raise the people from the eastern part of Europe to abject poverty. They'll be actually having to take the wealth of the people in the western part of Europe to send it to Eastern Europe, and I suppose that will be the same as far as England transferring its wealth to those impoverished people of Eastern Europe who are part of the EU?
Yes, it will. We've not been told yet what our increased budget demand will be, but there is no doubt about it that Britain is a net contributor. In other words, she gives more money into the pot than she gets out. And now that we've increased from 15 to 25, there's no doubt that our budgetary contributions will be increased. But again, this is being hidden from us. Can I say right away that Britain and America as well, of course, are always great contributors to assisting people in the world, and we would continue to be like that, as no doubt you would be. But we'd like to do it off our own bat. We don't want to be told what we've got to do. But you are right. This will mean a drain on our country. There was a report recently put out, an independent report, that estimated that it costs Great Britain somewhere in the region of £40 billion a year to belong to this club, and we get nothing out of it, really. You can rest assured that with these 10 new countries coming in, that $40 billion will increase considerably.
Well, now, what possible advantage is there to Great Britain to become part of this? Is it because you want to trade with these countries? Is this going to give you an advantage in trade? I mean, why would you put out $40 billion into an organization that you're not getting any benefit from?
Well, first of all, it's £40 billion, Dr. Stenner.
Well, pounds, so that's even more than dollars.
Yes, it is. I have to tell you that having examined and researched our association with the European Union now for some 5 or 6 years, having looked at everything with, I hope, a dispassionate eye, I can say with my hand on my heart that there is not one significant benefit to a member of a person living in Great Britain of this membership. I cannot think of one significant benefit to us at all. There is no benefit come to that.
Well, of course, we were told in America that we went into our regional affair with Mexico, we would be able to sell our products to all those people. I don't know, 50 or 70 million people in Mexico. Look at all those customers. Have they used that line over there with the English people? Oh, look at all those customers in Europe we can sell our products to?
Yes, they have. But what they failed to tell the people are two very important things. One is that since we've been members of the European Union, virtually every year since 1973 when we joined, we have had a trade deficit with the European Union. They actually sell more to us than we sell to them. And the other thing, of course, is this, that we don't need to belong to the EU to trade with it. America doesn't belong to the EU, yet it trades with the EU. So does Japan. And the EU itself has actually made 91 free trade agreements with non-EU countries. So the myth that we need to be actual members of the EU to trade with it is indeed exactly that. It is yet more lies from our own politicians.
But of course, we went through exactly the same thing. The trouble is, I don't think that the average American remembers how we were being told, oh, we've just got to get all those people in Canada that can become our customers, and we got all those people in Mexico. Well, actually, before we went into NAFTA, we had a positive trade balance with both of those countries. And once we opened up our borders, we went to a negative trade balance, and this is, of course, part of our $600 billion a year trade deficit. At least part of it is certainly with Canada, and part of it is with Mexico, and now a large part is with China and Japan. And America, of course, is simply hemorrhaging our money, and I fear that the same thing is going to happen in Great Britain unless the British people begin to understand the implications of what's coming down the line. And I really congratulate you, Mr. Coleman, yours and the other people in the UK Independence Party, are getting the information out probably a lot better than we're getting it out here. And you don't even have all the advantages we have, certainly of the of alternative radio, at least not to the degree we have. Well, we're going to be back in just a moment here with Mr. Trevor Coleman. If you have a question, why number 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464 8295. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about? Why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war? Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, the Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, the Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health, despite their fatty diet, because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763. 9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty. Our guest this afternoon is Mr. Trevor Coleman. Of course, it's midnight over there in Great Britain. Mr. Coleman's very kind to stay up. But he is, of course, on the front lines of this battle to try to educate the British people of really the implications of the move into the European Union. And we think this is so important because the same process is going on here in the United States, only they, of course, are going to unite the Western Hemisphere, or at least the northern part of the Western Hemisphere. hemisphere. That would appear to be the plan at the present time. And whether we'll eventually merge with the Marxist states of South America, I don't know. But there is a plan. It's in full force. It's being implemented in Great Britain. It's being implemented here in the United States. And the average American has no idea of the implications of where we're going. I think the people in Great Britain really are doing far better. And as we saw with the recent election up there in the north, where 80% of the people voted against this program for regionalization. Mr. Coleman, how are you getting the information out? How are you reaching the people there? You're certainly not getting a lot of help from it, for people in government.
Well, I have to tell you that there appears to have been a ban on the kind of information that should be put out to the people. We're getting no help at all from the BBC, I can tell you that, or from the independent TV channels. There are some satellite channels that will help us, but they're few and far between. And most of the national newspapers are, in fact, very pro-EU. So we're up against it. But having said all that, suddenly there does appear to be this movement that I was talking about a little while back. For example, almost 2.7 million people voted for our party in the European elections that took place back here in June. Which is a sizable amount of people, bearing in mind that we haven't got the kind of resources that our opponents have. So we're doing it that way. The other way is that we're holding public meetings. I've just this very evening come from a meeting that took place on the edge of Dartmoor, which is in the middle of Devon. And there again, we were meeting people who didn't know the facts that we were telling them and were prepared to stop and listen and join the party. So there is much sort of bottom-up work going on. And in addition to everything else, I've personally made 3 videos about the European Union, and to date, somewhere in the region of 75,000 of those videos have gone out all over the world, but mainly in Great Britain, telling the truth about the EU.
Well, I think somebody even sent me one of those, and I think it's really so important. And of course, the advantage of videos is people can copy them and get them distributed far and wide. And people must understand that this is a worldwide movement. Certainly, it's taking place in Europe, it's taking place here, and it is all coordinated, and it is based upon deceit and deception. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. If you have a question or comment about what we're talking about, but this is a vitally important issue. And while our attention is justifiably focused here in the United States on what's going on in the Middle East and, of course, the rising casualty count and, of course, the tragedy of what's unfolding there, why we're not watching what's happening here at home. And it's the old idea that, of course, you have somebody who is a sleight-of-hand artist. Why, of course, you watch one hand while, of course, he's taking your wallet away, or, in this case, your freedom and the future of your children away with the other. And so while our attention is diverted, why we're, of course, losing our freedom here at home. All the time we're talking about bringing freedom to people overseas, and are they doing that pretty well in England? In other words, is there a lot of attention on the British involvement, because Great Britain is really the only country that is backing the United States in Iraq?
Yes, there is, and without belittling what is happening in Iraq, I have to say this, that over the years we've seen our politicians bring in what we call these distracting factors. They bring in things that most of the time, I'm not talking about Iraq now, but most of the time, the issues that they raise aren't issues at all, and all the meanwhile, they are, as you say, changing things behind the scene. But I must say this, and I'm much encouraged by this, because they've been taking these liberties with us over the last 32 years, and because people are now beginning to wake up to it, suddenly people are becoming interested in politics again. Suddenly people are realizing that to change things in their own country, they have to be involved. And in the UK Independence Party, we are building into our policies and the things that we would like to do for this country, we are building in the ability of the people to get actively involved, not just at election time, but throughout the whole of the period of a government, so that they, the people, can involve themselves in the implementation of policies. And people are being attracted to that. For too long now, I think, in America and also in this country, we've taken for granted that the politicians would be okay. We found out to our cost that that is not so. And now something healthy is beginning to happen in our country, and I'm sure it will happen in your great country as well.
Well, I hope and pray that it will. Anyway, we'll be back here in just a moment with Mr. Trevor Coleman. And, of course, we'll welcome your calls. 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California, 464-8295.
Most people laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we had. It's a talk I gave before the Conservative Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who was Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the 4-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And this is Dr. Stan. Let me mention, of course, the Big Berkey and Berkey Life water filters. And if you have fluoride in your drinking water, or arsenic or lead or anything else, or you just want good drinking water and you're concerned about the chlorine in it, why, this can all be taken out with both the Big Berkey and the Berkey Lights, at least markedly limited the amount that you're going to get. And you can, of course, get special filters to take out the fluoride, MTBE, lead, and arsenic. So both of the filters are excellent. Unfortunately, the Big Berkey is not available in California. The Berkey Light is, and that's what we have. You can see pictures of them on our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. And for more information, call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. The Big Berkey, the Berkey Light, they're both excellent water filters. And in times like these, it would be great to have something just like that on hand. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon, Mr. Trevor Coleman, who is going to be running for Parliament and the UK Independence Party, and we've got Bart calling in from Carmel. Bart, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes, I have a question. Thank you, gentlemen, and thank you, Mr. Coleman, on behalf of your country and the wonderful work you do for them. They're so fortunate to have you. My question is this. I understand it's not difficult for the criminals to find firearms there in England, but do you feel, sir, that there's any chance at all that the British citizens will someday once again be able to defend themselves with their own personal firearms?
Well, Dr. Stan probably didn't know this, but I'm actually a retired police officer. I served for 33 years in the British Police Force, and I was, for most of that time, an operational detective, and I dealt mainly with criminals and crime during that time. And you probably know that the British Police Force generally is not armed, and we personally would not wish the police to be armed. Our problem is that, I don't know what it's like in America, but our courts don't seem to be protecting our police, and therefore they have to be armed up more than they were. The same thing is happening to our British citizens who are not being given the right to protect their property or themselves. And so the odds are that if things go on as they're going, citizenry will take into their own hands the ability to defend themselves. I personally would not like to see that happening. I would like to see us going back to the days when the law protected both the police and the citizenry.
But, of course, is it really taking, is the law protecting the people today?
No, it's not. There is a great dispute in this country about the fact that the criminal seems to have more rights than the victim.
Bart, anything else you'd like to ask?
Yes, sir. You should know that the police cannot be everywhere all the time, you know, when the violent criminal enters your home, even with a knife, to do your self-harm or your wife or your children. It's not possible for the police to be there, and the solution for that is to be able to defend yourself with a personal defense firearm that I feel personally that no government in the world has the right to remove self-defense firearms from citizens. And here in America, in communities such as Kennesaw, Georgia, and others where the citizens are, for the most part, armed with self-defense firearms, violent crime drops way, way off. That's an established fact, sir.
All right, fine, Bart. But of course, the tradition in England, really, it was a very, very peaceful country until recently. And of course, it's changed tremendously as the demographics have begun to change and people from other cultures have been coming in. What about the immigration issue? Is that a hotly contested issue in Great Britain as it is here in the United States?
Yes, it is. And one of the reasons for that is, of course, we have this open border policy. Because we're in the European Union now, we don't have the ability to control our own borders like we used to. And so the Home Office in this country admitted just a while back that it didn't have any idea of the real number of people who were coming to our country and staying here illegally. And in fact, our current Home Secretary was quoted as saying that he didn't think that there should be a top number of the people coming here. The indigenous population, we British people, are extremely concerned about the large numbers of people coming to our relatively small island. And there is great concern building up over that. So that is a matter that we're addressing as a party as well. But you're absolutely right. This is a huge problem.
And, of course, I'm sure you're being called racist and extremist and radical because you're concerned about trying to preserve the society that you were raised in.
We're being called all those things when, in fact, we are, if you like, a libertarian group, because we actually believe in the rights of the individual, and far from being extremists, we're actually a caring party, and all of us are sort of looking around and seeing things happening to our country which we don't like, and we're trying in a democratic way to tell people about it so that the people themselves can decide what they want to do.
And of course, don't you think that a lot of the change in the country as far as the crime is concerned really, of course, has a lot to do with people coming in with a different culture, a different values, a different sense of right and wrong? I mean, England has always, at least was traditionally until some years ago, a Christian country where, people had a strong moral concerns, and that's why you didn't have to have the police armed. I mean, people obeyed the law, but when you have people coming in who don't believe in the laws, who come from other cultures that are, by their essence, corrupt, doesn't that begin to then have a profound impact on what's happening in Great Britain?
I think it's dangerous to generalize in relation to those people who are coming to our country, because many people who come here bring things that, if you like, make our country better. But having said all that, you are right. There has been a change in our culture during the last 9 or 10 or a dozen years, and respect for the law in particular has gone down. Now, in some ways, it's due to the administration of law and the way in which law has been perceived in this country, and the old traditional values seem to be disappearing. But it doesn't mean to say that we can't return to those days, and that's what we're trying to do.
Well, I think I applaud you for that, because, of course, we see the America that we knew, the America I grew up in 75 years ago, is no longer the America that exists today. And there's been a change in values, and, of course, we have the same problem as far as our court system is concerned. Well, you know, is there anything that you can be accomplished? In other words, are the people over there who listen to internet programs, are the people over there who listen to shortwave, who are getting information from around the world, to realize that your problem is not an isolated program or problem. It is part of a worldwide program, because there is a worldwide movement made up of people who have a different agenda, who have a different worldview, who dream a different dream, and they believe of uniting this world into a world government, which I believe, of course, the European Union and NAFTA and this consolidation of Asia that they're working for. I think these are incremental steps into this whole idea of uniting the world. Have you run into that?
Yes, I have, and I think I could buy that idea, and the fact that it was a benevolent movement, if we hadn't been told lies. If it was such a really good idea, and if it was so benevolent and benign, why didn't the politicians tell us that in the first place? Why didn't they involve us, and for that matter your people, in telling them exactly what it is they'd got planned, and say to the people, what do you think? This is the big thing about it. None of this has been shared with us, and for obvious reasons, because it's not benign, and it's not to our benefit. And they were afraid to tell us, and what they've tried to do is, they've tried to put it in place and then say, look, it's too late now, the thing is over, you've got to put up with it and make the best of a bad job. I don't believe that it is benign at all, and I place my faith always in the people and say, look, tell the people and let them decide.
Well, my understanding is that there are even people on the continent who are concerned about what's going on. I understand that there was a Flemish party in the Flemish part of Belgium that was really, they were the largest party there, and they've been outlawed because of their, was it because of their opposition to the European Union? Why did they outlaw that party?
Well, I believe it was to do with their opposition to the European Union, but to go on further from that, Dr. Stan, I can tell you that there are somewhere in the region of 300 different groups and types of groups around the European Union that we certainly knew about up until the end of last year, which were opposed to the concept of the European Union. We are not on our own. But having said that, the UK Independence Party is the only, if you like, front political party that people are voting for, and we're being watched very closely by these other groups in the European Union to see how we get on.
What did they do with this? I mean, how can you outlaw a political party as they did in Belgium just because you don't like its policies?
Well, there are various ways of doing it, and one of the ways that is now open to the European Union is that they can restrict funding for political parties. And you will know that if you can't get funding, then you ain't got a party.
Well, of course, they've done this quite effectively over here, at least with the McCain-Feingold bill that was supposed to do away with soft money for our political parties. But its real purpose was, of course, to silence many of the organizations were trying to educate the people. And the amazing thing is that the president signed it and the Supreme Court held it constitutional, and there's been no outcry from the American people. It's almost as if it never happened. Well, you know, as we see this whole incredible story unfold, and of course as more and more people become aware of this in Great Britain, what's happening to your economy? Is your economy really doing pretty well? Because people get more concerned when they're out of jobs, you know, when the taxes go up, and they seem, here in the United States, instead of taxing people for all of this foolish things they're doing, they're just borrowing from future generations. How are you keeping the people in line over there?
I should say
the government is keeping people in line.
We were told that if we didn't join the euro, that dreadful things would happen to us, that we would have mass unemployment, that our economy would go wrong, and there would be no growth, etc. Well, the direct opposite has happened. We've prospered since we came out of the exchange rate mechanism, which, as you know, was a device that was there just prior to the euro, and it was a trial run for the euro. We've prospered since we came out of that. The eurozone itself is not functioning at all well, because the one-size-fits-all policy, in other words, one economic policy for 12 differing nations, just doesn't work. I was told the other day by an economist that at one stage during last month, the interest rate set by the European Central Bank didn't suit any of the countries that were in the eurozone. It just didn't suit them. And if you think about it, how can you possibly have an economic policy for 12 differing economic cycles? You just can't have that. But we were told that we had to join that. We didn't join it, thank goodness. And we are at the moment, we're prospering.
Now, is anybody else who is part of this free trade zone not going into the euro? In other words, not adopted their currency? Isn't there some opposition in some of the other countries to that?
Yes, There is. Denmark is not in the is not in the Eurozone, and neither is Sweden. And but the African countries that joined, the 10 Eastern European countries that joined, have all intimated that they are in favor of the euro, although some are sort of less in favor than others. But the intention is that they will definitely join.
But of course, won't they really prosper tremendously at the expense of the people in the western part of Europe? Because of course they're going to be able to move factories there. People will work. The average income is maybe $50 a month. So I mean, you're going to be a paralleling pretty well what's going on in China, and they'll be able to outproduce the people in the West. They'll have to transfer the jobs, the wealth, the outsource to Eastern Europe. This is going to have a devastating effect upon the economy of Western Europe, France, Germany, Italy, and of course, if England goes in, wouldn't it have the same effect on you?
Yes, it would, and of course, they're already feeling the draft of this in Germany, because many of the industries there are beginning to outsource into the Eastern European countries. And you're absolutely right, they've got the edge now as far as competing is concerned. And this will, by the very nature of things, drag down the other countries as the Eastern European countries are brought up to a sort of mean level. This is bound to happen, yes.
Well, I think it's an amazing thing as we see this unfolding, and of course we're observing it, we're watching what's happening to Europe, knowing full well that this is exactly what's going to happen here in the United States. The tragedy is, as in Great Britain, where all of your political parties are pushing in that direction, irrespective of what the people want. So we see it here in the United States, where we have a two-party system, and the leaders of both parties are dedicated to this whole globalist agenda. And of course, somehow we have to get the people here as mobilized as you've been able to do it in Great Britain. And you've done it primarily through small meetings and passing out flyers, things of that sort.
Yes, we have. And I have to tell you this, that when you have meetings of people who haven't heard the truth before, and I've addressed meetings perhaps from as little as, say, a dozen people up to well over 250, and when you address any of these meetings and you tell them exactly what's going on and show them that you're telling them the truth, you can see light bulbs coming on over their heads, and people are suddenly becoming very concerned, and that concern then turns into anger, and they're very, very angry at being deceived. And suddenly you haven't got to keep convincing them anymore. Just as soon as you tell them the truth, they understand why our services aren't as good as they should be. They understand why they're paying more taxes and yet they're not getting any benefit from it. They can suddenly see what has been going wrong with the country. They've sensed this anyway, and we've just turned on the light, and then they come to us in their scores and scores. So I think the same thing will apply in America. You're very much like us, and there's a great bond between our two countries that nothing will ever break, because without being too condescending, we are kith and kin. And we've been side by side for the last, I don't know how many years, and I just hope and pray that will continue.
Well, of course, we're bound together by a common heritage, by certainly a common language, although, of course, the English people don't speak English quite normally like Americans do. But no, actually, I love the English language. I love the English accent. It always sounds so cultured, and I think that perhaps we should try perhaps to imitate that a little bit more. Anyway, of course, we've got about 3 minutes left before we have to let you go. What's the message you would like to leave with our listeners here in America? And, of course, this program does go around the world on shortwave and on the Internet, as well as the stations, probably a dozen or more, that pull it down here in America. So what is the message you would like to leave with our listeners?
The message I'd like to leave is this, that we've got about 18 months left in this country, and at the end of that 18 months, we shall either continue to be Great Britain, or if we lose this battle, Great Britain will cease to exist, and the British people that you've known will cease to exist, and all those things that you value and that we've given to the world will vanish and go. And the only way we can get out of the trap then will be in a way that you and I wouldn't want to happen, Dr. Stan. So I'm just hoping that during the next 18 months we can pull this off and turn the tide, and things can be better in this country.
Well, now, do you have a website? Is there a means by which people could get in touch with you? I don't know. Do you use the same tracking of videos in England that we do here? Are they different?
No, we've got a different system, but we do produce our videos so that they're compatible with your machines over there. The only thing that I can give you because we are a volunteer organization, is my address that people can get these videos from if you want me to do that.
Would you mind?
Not at all. People can write to Sanity, S-A-N-I-T-Y, P.O. Box 85, Teignmouth, that's T-E-I-G-N-M-O-U-T-H, in the county of Devon, England, TQ149ZN.
Would you mind giving that as area code one more time?
Yeah, sure. Do you want the? I'll give you the full address.
All right.
Sanity, P.O. Box 85, Teignmouth, T-E-I-G-N-M-O-U-T-H, Devon, England, TQ149ZN.
All right, fine. Well, I want to thank you so very much for being with us. It's been a real pleasure, and I hope maybe we can talk again one time.
I'd like that.
God bless, and thank you so much.
Thank you, Dr. Stern.
All right, our guest this evening has been Trevor Coleman, who is a retired police officer. He is a member of the UK Independence Party, a new political party that has been fashioned in Great Britain, trying, of course, to get the truth out. The politicians have been lying to them, just exactly as our politicians are lying to us. The agenda, of course, is to take America into, first of all, the Central American free trade zone, perhaps the entire Americas, depending upon what South America wants to do, but eventually to destroy our sovereignty, to destroy our Bill of Rights, to destroy our right to trial by jury and habeas corpus, because there are people who dream a different dream, who march to a different drumbeat, who worship a different God. We're moving towards a world government, a one world government, which I believe will be under the Antichrist. It's happening right before our eyes, and what are we doing? Well, what are you doing?
This is a fascinating four-tape set, Genocide, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America, the fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer, because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview, and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Let me just mention some of the new four-tape sets we have. We have a great four-tape set on Operation Paperclip. Most Americans do not understand that there really are secret occult organizations out there, and of course part of this works within a segment of the CIA, which of course has been led by a member of the Council on Foreign Relations, always since its very inception. There's a section of that they call the Bones section of the CIA. Why? Because the members of the Skull and Bones dominate that. And it was after the Second World War, when the nasty, the wicked Nazis were being put on trial. Well, very few of them were really put on trial or punished. 1,000 of the Nazi, and many of them war criminals, were brought here to the United States under Operation Paperclip. There was a law that no Nazi could come here, signed by the president. So the CIA and the military intelligence simply put a paperclip on these files so they couldn't be opened, and that meant that these people were to get a free pass. And some of the most vicious of the war criminals were brought here to continue their biological and mind control experiments and to establish the American space program. And of course, Wernher von Braun was a Nazi. General Strughold, who actually headed that whole program, was one of the most wanted Nazi war criminals. He should have been tried and convicted. Instead, we, of course, named our space center after him. But 10,000 of the most vicious Nazi war criminals, Klaus Barbie and Adolf Eichmann and Dr. Mengele and Martin Bormann, were taken to South America, helped by the CIA and MI6. And we even have a video with Sam Donaldson that shows that. But much of this story is told in our four-tape set, Operation Keelhaul. Pardon me, Operation Paperclip. That's Operation Paperclip. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for Operation Paperclip. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners out across America that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to joining the Radio Liberty family, because that's how we're able to do what we do 5 hours a day as we reach out across America, 5 hours a day on radio, 5 hours a day on satellite, 5 hours a day on the internet, and 4 hours a day on shortwave. But it's an expensive proposition, but we think it's important. I should mention that on our evening program, that is the one 8 to 10 here on the West Coast, 11 to 1 on the East Coast, we have two shortwave broadcasts. One will stay at 7.535 megahertz, that's 7535, and the other for the 2 hours that is on will remain at 5835, that's 5835, will be 2 hours starting next Monday. The shortwave will stay at the same frequency for the full 2 hours. Then, of course, we want you to realize that we have all sorts of fascinating material you'd never find elsewhere. We carry the long-suppressed book, Tragedy and Hope, A History of the World in Our Time, Foundations, Their Power and Influence, the book that everything was done to keep from getting printed. Why? Because it tells about how the great tax-exempt foundations are funding communism and socialism, and of course were aimed at destroying the sovereignty of America. They began working almost a century ago to take over our educational system, to rewrite the encyclopedias, to destroy the morality of our country. Who do you think financed Kinsey? Oh, they've got a great new movie out about Kinsey. What a wonderful fellow he was. He was a pervert. He was a pedophile. He was a masochist. And, of course, he was basically a disciple of Aleister Crowley. And you'll actually see, if you get Judith Reisman's book, Kinsey, Crime and Consequences, you'll see a picture of Aleister Crowley, pardon me, of Kinsey standing before a shrine of Crowley, Aleister Crowley, and the man with him, of course, is the co-founder of the Church of Satan. So this whole thing is satanic. You really want to get that book, Kinsey, Crime and Consequences. You want to get our four-tape set on Kinsey. In fact, we'll be having Judith Reisman on our program later this evening, at least for half an hour. But you have to see how Hollywood is trying to rehabilitate this Satanist. But then why should we be surprised? The purpose of Hollywood is not, as a whole, to make money. It's to destroy Christianity, because this is a spiritual battle. There is a movement to destroy the Christian beliefs of this nation, because if you destroy the Christian beliefs of the nation, you destroy the nation. And that's what it's really all about. So we do hope that many of you will give very serious consideration to giving us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Get the book on Kinsey, the four-tape set on Kinsey. Get the information that we have you're not going to be able to get elsewhere. Going into the background of the four-tape set on fluoride, the four-tape set on mercury, the four-tape set on aspartame and MSG, all poisons that are being used to attack the minds of the American people. You hear about the danger of lead. Well, believe me, fluoride and mercury and aspartame have a profound impact on the minds of our people. You have to be very evil to want to hurt children, but there really are evil people out there that are fluoridating the water, knowing full well the impact of fluoride, and are putting mercury into the vaccines. Why do you think that they want to get every child a flu shot down to 6 months of age? Why? Because of the toxic doses of mercury in it. According at least to Dr. Fudenberg, over a 10-year period, if you take 60 to 65, and you take 3 to 4 shots over a 5-year period, 10 years hence, why your incidence of Alzheimer's goes up 1,000%. And if you haven't heard that, you'd like it documented, call us at 1-800-544-8927 and ask for the Dr. Fudenberg or the influenza quote. That's 1-800-544-8927. Pray for America. Pray for revival. Pray for Radio Liberty for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.